Okay.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 97 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who is supposed to be making his professional debut with the NBA tonight, Brian. Brian, how are you holding up, sir? I can imagine it's been a bit of a up and down roller coaster emotional week for you.
It has, and I appreciate you taking the time to acknowledge it. This week has seen epic highs in my life, dreams realized, hopes of things that I never thought would take place, suddenly ringing true, becoming tangible, things that I have worked so hard on since childhood, blood, sweat, tears, all of it coming to fruition this week, and at the same time vanquished by the sickly wind of COVID-19, sunk into a deep depression this past week. Sadness, regret. It's become a dark place right now. I can't lie.
All right. Well, only one thing to do at that point: drown your sorrows in alcohol.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Pause. Drink of the week.
Now
drink
we were week. We were going week. To do a drink of the week poll, but
wasn't appropriate.
Our lawyers advised us that public gatherings were not supposed to be happening. We tried to explain that this is more of an online thing, but he kind of pushed it, so we skipped the poll this week and just did a dealer's choice. So Brian, if I were to go out on a limb, am I going to say that you are drinking a Macallan's on the rocks?
No, I am not.
What do you have?
Today, I cracked into my Tavor crate and busted out Energy City Brewing's Batisserie's S'mores Stout.
Ooh, that sounds tasty.
Their Batisserie beers are brewed with the flavors and inspiration from patisseries from around the world. So this bad boy's got a 10% alcohol by volume.
Oh,
looking
How
forward
is it?
To it.
Give it a taste.
It is a dark, dark beer.
Oh, my Lord.
This thing is like Mickey Rivers staring right back at me.
That is as black as your heart.
Absolutely. Let me take a sip. It's s'mores. So I'm expecting some graham crackers, marshmallows, dark cocoa. Here I'm going in.
A little chocolate there. It's going down easy. You're not making a face, so that's usually a good sign. How is it?
Wow. Oh my good. This is the beer that Tavor promised me. When they said to us, reached out to us and said, "Listen, we've heard about your drink of the week poll. We feel that we are the place that can produce for you the type of beer that Ron and Brian and their listeners are going to be interested in." I visualized this s'mores stout. Holy camoli tamoli. This thing is delicious.
All right. And really, when you think about it, Tavor just makes even more sense in today's day and age. So you don't have to leave your house. You don't have to go to the store, risk catching that coronavirus, because Tavor will allow you to order throughout the month, ship the crate out to you for $15, flat shipping fee. Brian, is there any sort of promotional code our users can use to get a discount off of their first order?
If people download the Tavor app, T-A-V-O-U-R, in the Google Play or Apple app, iTunes, whatever you want to fucking call it, the code they're looking for, 525401. Also, what I find is a good way to remember it is, what is Ron's IQ? The answer is 525401. That will get you $10 off your first crate, as they like to call it in the game. And once you're in for the first crate, You are sucked in, baby, like you're just a first visit to a Thai prostitute. You're going to want one over and over and over again. Tavor,
nice.
Promo code 525401.
All right. Well, I dug into the beer fridge today. There was one that was sitting in the back. I had forgotten about this one from the good folks at Ballast Point Brewing. This is their Nitro Red Velvet beer. It is a golden oatmeal stout with beets, chocolate, and natural flavors added. It's only a 5.5%, so not too bad. You can see it's got kind of a reddish tint to it there from the beet.
I have had
this, but I don't remember how good it is. Hold on.
I'm going to tell you that it does have a nice red hue.
It's smooth. I will say I don't get a red velvet from it, but I do get a nice smooth beer with a little chocolate aftertaste.
Well, I'm going to say this to you. What is it? Isn't chocolate the flavor of a red velvet cake? I mean, it really is cocoa, but red food coloring.
You have a valid point there.
I'm not bragging, but I have been known to rock a red velvet cake from scratch.
Nice. You will have to make one. I guess maybe the only thing it's missing is that cream cheese frosting.
I don't have that
flavor there.
Why don't you whip some up yourself right now?
Well, we're doing a podcast right now. But in the meantime, we can take a walk down to This Week in Racism, which we haven't done the past few episodes.
This
week
in
Racism.
So it has been a few weeks. We have had our defending champion, Hans Berglund, sitting on the bench for a while, waiting for some competition. He was getting antsy. He thought maybe we were just going to declare him racist of the year. He said, why don't you come out to the West Coast, you know, pal? We'll have some laughs, have a good time. But he has found some competition this week, Brian. Are you happy to see Hans back in play this week?
Well, I think there's so many times that you can sit there, you know, and just be slapped in the face by Hans Gruber's arrogance. We said you need 3 wins to be an automatic seed. And his response was, I'm going to count to 3. There will not be a 4, which really kind of put me off. I remember last week we reached out to him and said, listen, if you are going to, be a first round bye in our year-end in racism tournament, you know, you're going to have to start dressing better, at which point he said, hey, that's a very nice suit, Mr. Tagagi. It would be a shame to ruin it. So just the overall arrogance of Hans Gruber has, you know, in conversations you and I have had, I've been itching for somebody to come up against him and hoping we've got somebody.
Well, let's first give everybody a refresher since it has been a few weeks. Let's rewind and find out how Hans got here.
I don't like when people sit in the front.
I cannot sit there?
I don't like when people sit in the front.
Then I'm going to order something else.
All right, sounds good.
So cancel it, okay?
Will do. Thank you.
No, are you fucking serious with me?
No, I don't like when people sit in the front, period. I'll cancel and refund you.
Okay, let me do this. I'm going to ride in the back and I'm going to file a complaint, okay?
I have
the right to make my own offer.
I am an independent contractor and have a right to deny this ride.
Good. So let's take a discussion about that.
No, please leave my vehicle.
Yes. No. We'll take a look at this later. Come on.
No, please. Sir, please leave my vehicle. I canceled your
ride. Well, honestly, I'm here. I'm sitting here in the back
seat.
Please
leave my vehicle.
Is that because I'm white?
No, sir. It's not because you're white.
You're a fucking...
Oh, man, this is good because I have 2 dash cans.
That fucking unbelievable. Screw you, Yuri.
So, of course, Hans getting a little upset, going a little overboard with his Uber driver. That got him his first win. So now he comes back looking for his second win. His competition, the ever-rare non-audio submission for This Week in Racism, but very timely as we go to New York City, the Upper East Side, where there was a coronavirus-inspired hate crime this week. Apparently, a teenager spotted a 59-year-old Asian man who was walking south on Madison near East 104th around 9 o'clock Tuesday night. The teenager ran up to him, kicked him in the back, knocking him to the ground. The teen then yelled, "Fucking Chinese coronavirus," and demanded the man go back to his country. The victim suffered some injuries to his hands and knees, but refused medical attention at the scene. What made it even worse was the man told police it was actually his second encounter with the teenager, who he said had spit in his face this past Saturday. So they have released pictures of it. If you go to the New York Post, we'll also have a link, obviously, on the vote on our Facebook and Twitter page. You'll see a picture of the teenager that they're searching for. So right now we're just calling him the tracksuit teenager racist. Horrible stuff, you know. And I think good competition for Hans. So go to our Facebook page or our Twitter page. Vote for This Week in Racism. Brian, it's been a while, but I know I have to go to you for your pick.
I'm going to have to stick with Hans. I think the audio is compelling, and I'm not sure that we've got enough evidence on this kid yet.
All right. Should Hans lose this upcoming week, what movie will you be referencing moving forward?
Ooh, a tracksuit? I may have to go to He Got Game.
Hmm, interesting. Well, we shall see. As always, again, go to the Facebook, go to the Twitter, go to RonAndBrianPodcast.com for links to both, and vote on This Week in Racism.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what is bothering you this week?
My fellow New Yorkers.
Okay, and why is that? More than usual?
No, I'll speak to a specific type of behavior. The hoarding, the hoarding of staples at supermarkets. I am ultimately bewildered by the run on toilet paper that I have witnessed take place in my geographic area. I do not understand, and I understand these are different times, but I do not understand why my supermarket is completely sold out of toilet paper right now.
All right. We don't talk about this before the podcast.
Are you going to talk about your bleeding? Are you talking about your bleeding rectum again?
Not this time. But I agree with you. My beef this week is also people who hoard during situations like this. Wait, it's just the toilet paper.
How do you not have a sound effect for the fact that we have the same beef of the week without communicating it? This is momentous.
I mean, that's about all I got.
That works for me.
First, it was, you know, obviously the hand sanitizer, the Clorox wipes, the toilet paper, even paper towels to an extent. So today, I reside in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, which, as some of you may know, has been trending on Twitter all day because Governor Tom Wolf, governor of the state of Pennsylvania, had a press conference today at 2 o'clock. And pointed out Montgomery County as an area that he was targeting because we have apparently the most reported cases of coronavirus in the state so far. So he has shut all schools in Montgomery County starting tomorrow for 2 weeks. He also closed all gyms, community centers, and recreation facilities. Entertainment venues are closed. He has also asked all non-essential retail to voluntarily close for 2 weeks as well. And his basic message to people was, well, you know, you don't want to go outside, so make sure you're stocked up with enough food for 2 weeks. So they're now posting pictures of the Wegmans in Collegeville, PA, literally stripped clean of all fresh food, meats, vegetables, staples. And again, I mean, you know how big an average Wegmans is. You've got one there down in Brooklyn Navy Yard now. I mean, that's a lot of shit. And I don't know that that kind of scavenging is necessary.
No, not at all. It's ludicrous. I mean, but not only that, it's actually, to me, and this is one thing that I find really most upsetting, and I guess it kind of hit me today, and I've seen it happening, but it's actually disrespectful to your neighbors. It's the fact that one person is going to sit there and say, I need to have five cases of toilet paper, five cases of this and five cases of that, because I don't want to ensure that I have all or as much of this and other people can't get it.
Well, and as somebody online pointed out, you know, the hoarding of hand sanitizer makes the least amount of sense, because that's great if you are able to sanitize your hands. But if everybody else you come in contact with is unable to sanitize their hands, how does that help you? You know, it doesn't stop the spread.
It's also preventing, you know, and the thing is, you know, I get it if you are, you know, a caregiver, you're a nurse, you're at high risk, you know, you've got an immune disorder, but a perfectly healthy person in the real ages, there's no reason for them to be stocking up that much on hand sanitizer.
No, not at all.
You know, you're actually preventing other people that may need this product.
That is correct. And it's, as you will imagine, most, if not all, of this podcast will be talking about coronavirus, because we only talked about it for a very short period of last week's episode. And I feel like in the last 7 days, it has gone from, you know,
it's gone viral.
It's gone from like a 3 or a 4, and it's amped all the way up to a 10.
Oh,
like
it's a 10.
To the point where I am legitimately concerned as to what's going to be happening over the next few weeks in this country.
Yes, agreed, absolutely agreed. It's odd. I've been on this planet for almost 50 years at this point, and I genuinely feel like we are entering a territory that my generation has never experienced. And the previous generation and the generation before that, I think the closest they had was the Great Depression. We are entering a period of time where there is a disease that is floating around that is in the air. It is not, you know, my generation experienced the outbreak of AIDS, and which was a terrible epidemic that, took the lives of a lot of great people. The difference with that was the fact that I think whether the perception was accurate or not, but the perception was that you had to do something to catch AIDS. You needed to, somehow absorb the blood of somebody that had AIDS. You had to share a hypodermic needle. You needed to get a blood transfusion. You needed to have unprotected, hot, raw butt sex. Man, dick slamming right into butt. I'm sorry. Maybe
you are right over there.
It's the s'mores kicking in. But it was the idea that if you're not taking part in any risky behaviors, you have nothing to worry about. Here with the coronavirus, as it is right now, when the day we're recording this, you can catch it walking out of your house.
Well, and what's also interesting is forgetting going back to AIDS, even looking at the last decade where we've experienced, you know, the Zika virus, the bird flu, the swine flu, SARS, MERS, MRSA, Ebola, all that, you know, these were also very similar outbreaks, and we never had the level of, to coin a phrase that everybody's using, social distancing that we've had right now. I mean, look at, you know, the major concerts that have canceled or rescheduled. South by Southwest, canceled. Coachella, rescheduled. Stagecoach, rescheduled. Major League Baseball suspends the season. NHL suspends the season. Major League Soccer delays the start of the season. Major League Baseball cancels spring training, delays the start of the season. NCAA cancels men's and women's basketball championships, as well as all winter and spring championship tournaments. Today, Live Nation announced the postponement of any concert that they have moving forward. You haven't seen, you know, well, not even talking about New Rochelle and the quarantine zone that they have up there that the National Guard is enforcing. We have never seen anything like this before.
No. And we are, you know, to say that we are in uncharted waters is an understatement. I vacillate between the thought whether we are overreacting to this or whether this is an appropriate response. I mean, life as we know it is coming to a standstill. Obviously, entertainment is the first area that has taken a hit. Pretty soon, it is going to be places of business. And the problem with places of business is that that is the workplace. The thing that last week was, really foremost on my mind in terms of how we are reacting to this was that I saw this as a disease that was only killing 3% of the population. And people are panicking. And I sat there, I was just like, listen, if you are, if you're relatively healthy, you're not elderly, you are not a child or an infant, you're not fighting some type of, weak immune system type of disease, this is going to be a bad cold. You know, that's really what you're going to get. Why are we, why is it that as a society we are freaking out over this? And what I feel like we've hit is this is a genuine free fall. You know, we are currently in a free fall as a society in terms of what we once considered normal life feels like is slipping out of our grasp. And I'm not sure how far we slide into the abyss before we hit the bottom. And well,
we may have hit bottom, Brian, because an hour ago, the XFL announced the suspension of their regular season.
God damn it.
Yep. They have announced, to much to their credit, all players will be paid their base pay and benefits for the 2020 season, and all ticket holders will be issued refunds or credits towards future games. Right before we started to record, initially the late night shows had said that they were going to continue recording, but without live studio audiences. It has now come out before we started recording here that they are just canceling recording. They will just play repeats and specials moving forward. I mean, one thing that one expression that I had learned more about since this whole started, and I'm sure you've heard it as well, is this whole flattening the curve concept.
Right.
Are you familiar with that?
No.
So, all right, well, I will educate you then. So apparently, in dealing with a pandemic, you have a level to which your existing health services can handle a number of patients. If you do not try to contain the spread, obviously that curve shoots up very high and it goes, past the point of, where your local hospitals, doctors, things like that can take care of it. That's kind of where Italy is right now.
Yeah,
but what they're trying to do by flattening that curve out, and maybe the same number of people end up getting the disease, but they get it spread out over a longer period of time, so that you're never completely taxing the resources of your local health.
Interesting.
Network. You look at what's going on in Italy right now, and part of the problem with Italy is they have one of the oldest, largest elderly populations on the planet, and they don't have enough ventilators for people with breathing difficulties. So doctors are literally making decisions as to who really is going to get to live or die moving forward. If they feel someone has a better, if you're younger, if you don't have a major disease, you may get a ventilator, versus the person in the bed right next to you.
Yeah.
And we could very easily get to that situation. We know the healthcare is broken in this country, so it's not difficult to picture that. So is it an overabundance of caution? Probably. But is it an overabundance of caution that will hopefully save lives in the long run? I guess that's how we need to look at it.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
If both you and your wife are having the same health problems, and a ventilator will save one life.
I have already typed up a letter and signed her name to it, stating that she wishes that I get the ventilator if there has to be a choice between the two of us. And it's because I know she would want to do it, and I just feel she would have a hard time bringing herself to saying it because she's very humble that way. So I feel by having this documentation, which I'll be keeping in my coat pocket, it's just helpful.
Well, first off, she doesn't have a podcast. You do. So, it's the sense of it's really a sense of responsibility. You both have jobs that you are very important within your organizations, but I mean, you have a podcast. There,
right.
There are, there's 100 people right now that are sitting there waiting to hear what is Ron's take on coronavirus.
Sure.
And I think that's one of the reasons. Another thing that I want to point out how much I love you is that I didn't even need to finish asking my question. And you, you knew exactly where I was going to go with that.
I've already made the decision over who really needs to survive. We are one of the lone sources of entertainment left in the world at this point. If that's not important, I don't know what is.
Well, here's the beauty of not just the podcasting medium, but also the thing that you and I have to offer is the fact that we have built in a redundancy in terms of our protection against the coronavirus to ensure that this podcast continues.
Well, and listen, I didn't want to toot our own horn. But, you know, we were very honored and privileged earlier today to receive the support of the CDC that we are a coronavirus-friendly podcast because we record in two separate locations. Brian is up in Queens. I'm down in Philadelphia. So there is no chance of cross-contamination. So correct. We are CDC certified. You can feel comfortable listening to this. You can put in earphones. You're not going to get anything from us. Coronavirus anyway.
Correct. But but what's important is that we can't get it from each other.
Right.
You know, a lot of the podcasts that are, you know, that people listen to right now, where there are multiple hosts, it is, you know, they're recording in the same room. You know, one person right. walks in with the coronavirus, the other is going to catch it. A little period of time passes by. There's no more podcasts anymore. People have lost that source of mild entertainment. Here, you and I are bringing our A game every fucking week.
Listen, let's look at some of the other podcasts out there. Joe Rogan spits when he talks. Definitely going to infect his guest.
Does he Dax really Shepherd, spit?
Dax Shepard, a very sweaty man from what I hear. So he Stop. Goes, he shakes some hands. Yes.
Stop for a moment. You're yes. telling me that Dax Shepard has a leading podcast?
Armchair Expert? You haven't...
Never heard of it.
All right.
Well, is it popular?
He's like, probably going to he's probably going to pass the coronavirus around.
I mean, how do I put this politely? I am somewhat envious of the fact that he gets to bang Kristen Bell.
I mean, she is a delight. So I hope she, of all people, I hope, does not get the coronavirus.
Not only is she visually easy on the eyes, but she actually gives the appearance of having a good personality.
She does, no question. Speaking of which, how upsetting was it to see that Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, have both tested positive for the coronavirus while filming a new Elvis Presley biopic down in Australia?
I actually didn't care.
And really?
I will tell you why. Because I do not see, you know, I'm actually, I believe in the anti-celebrity. Mm-hmm. I don't see why there is a old man in Italy that's dying of coronavirus. And as a world, we don't care. But because Tom Hanks has a slight chill, we're all going to sit there and take a moment to pause. It's offensive to me.
I'm going to tell you why. Because Tom Hanks is an American treasure. You know, I would challenge you to name a bad Tom Hanks movie. And you would say The Burbs, and I'd be like, all right, fair enough. That one did, you know, pretty much suck. And I'd say, you know, but you probably can't think of another one. And you'd be like, well, you know, Joe versus the Volcano wasn't that hot. And I'd be like, all right, you got a point. And then you'd say, well, The Terminal was kind of hit or miss. And I'd be like, all right, you're kind of beating it into the ground now. I'm like, more important, it was Forrest Gump. A great movie. The Green Mile. Saving Private Ryan. He was Mr. Rogers. I'm just a little verklempt, Brian.
What about Sully? That was terrible.
You know what? Now you're just trying to aggravate me, and I won't stand for it. Tom Hanks, national treasure. That's all I'm saying.
I would say that he has been typecast as the go-to actor for good white male roles.
That would be a fair statement.
Okay. Oh, what about all the movies after the Da Vinci Code?
Those were awful. Are you saying that Angels and Demons was not one of your favorites?
Terrible. Terrible. And what's worse is that I remember reading the Da Vinci Code and actually enjoying it as a book. And I just remember seeing the movie and I was just perplexed by the way he was cast in that role. But, you know, putting that aside, I'm not sure that I can ever forgive him for That Thing You Do.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, maybe he deserves to die. I don't know. We'll go back and forth on that. But going back to all this and stuff that's been canceled.
No. Are we gonna turn our back and pretend Turner and Hooch never took place?
I like Turner and Hooch.
I'm not done yet. What about Dragnet?
All right, that one stunk.
Nothing in Common with Jackie Gleason? Awful.
Yeah, all right.
The Man with the One Red Shoe, that was trash. All
right, that one was pretty bad. That was a remake, though. So I don't know, you can blame him for that one.
He did an episode of Happy Days?
Well, I'm sure he did. I mean, he did Bosom Buddies. I mean, that was his first starring vehicle.
I remember I watched Bosom Buddies when that was on. And what's amazing is the fact that, you know, I'm assuming all of our listeners know, but was it Peter Scolari?
Peter Scolari.
That man has no fucking career right now, and Tom Hanks is
a... Peter Scolari has not thrown himself off of a building is really a testament to him, because if I'm starring side by side in this crazy, stupid TV show back in the early 80s...
80 to 82.
And then the guy that I'm starring with all of a sudden becomes one of the biggest stars in Hollywood, and I can't even get cast in an infomercial... I might off myself.
Oh, I think Peter Scolari has earned a drinking problem.
Definitely.
Like feel like his kids, you know, when dad's drinking a scotch, you know, cursing at the TV every night after dinner, I think his kids have to sit there and be like, you know what? Dad gets a pass.
Yeah. So now that you've lambasted Tom Hanks enough, just to kind of jump back and looking, you kind of asked about, you know, all these things being canceled. Is this going too far? So I made a comment to my wife earlier tonight because we were having a conversation about this. And, you know, I made a statement and I want to get your take on it. Okay. Is do you feel that, you know, city and state governments and private companies and organizations are going to this extent compared to how it's previously been handled in this country because they have a lack of faith in the federal government's handling of this entire situation?
Yes. So, and like, hold on. And I'm going to say that with a caveat.
Okay.
Is that I don't know that if Hillary Clinton were president right now, the federal government's ability to combat what's going on would be much different. And I say that with absolutely zero respect for our current president in a state of crisis. I think that this man a week and a half ago, saw everything that was going on as an opportunity for him to spin this as a liberal hoax, as fake news, as the media brainwashing us. And instead of actually seeing this as a public health crisis, try to sit there and say, I'm going to wave my hands in the air and try and see if I can get people to just follow me blindly. I don't know. I genuinely have such a lack of faith in our government, the government's ability to really protect us, that I don't know that if somebody else were in that role, I would be feeling that much better.
But let me maybe put it this way. So, you know, if government was properly staffed, you know, there's still hundreds of government positions not staffed, if there wasn't a constant revolving door within the administration for cabinet positions, for, you know, Homeland Security, for chief of staff, if he hadn't, you know, gotten rid of the pandemic committee that is designed to handle this, if he didn't cut the CDC budget to create a space force, you know, if government in a way had been able to run in certain areas, whether it's the CDC or Homeland Security or whatever, you know, is it possible, you know, or if we had a president that was willing to take the advice of someone other than himself, you know, if someone went to Hillary Clinton and said, President Clinton, we feel that the coronavirus is already in this country and this is why, and we need to start testing. Do you think she would have approved that?
Yes, I think she would be. I think that that anybody other than Donald Trump would do a better job. But would they have done a job well enough to have protected us? No, I don't believe that big government or small government. I don't believe that no matter how you look at it, I don't think it ever will eventually have the effect of protecting the populace. And that might be my libertarian. Oh, you know, government is never the cure for something. Government will always just figure out a way to fuck things up, because ultimately it is individuals that run the government. And humanity is flawed, and you know, however you want to go down that wormhole, we could, it's a slip and slide that will go on forever. I believe that the guy currently in power could quite possibly be the worst person that we could have. In this, like, think about it. Just think, the person that he has in charge of his coronavirus task force openly is hostile towards science.
Oh yeah, he was responsible for the HIV outbreak in Indiana when he was the governor.
He believes that God and his Christian values can somehow wash away medical crises. Now, that decision, you could not have made a stupider decision.
And my point is, I don't know that the government could have taken care of it or prevented this from happening, but could they have handled it to the point where public life could be going on more regularly than it is right now?
Absolutely. I think that when Donald Trump gets up there, and I believe he did yesterday, you watched it. I would like you to give me a synopsis of it, because I was watching Narcos Mexico. That wasn't a joke. But I believe that if somebody like Obama was president right now during this crisis, he would be sending a message of, we are doing everything we can.
That was delivered.
I believe that the message Donald Trump sends is, I'm going to say anything I have to keep my ratings high.
Well, and he was clearly reading from a teleprompter, because somebody read not an off the cuff.
And the worst part is that he is one of the worst readers that has ever entered the political forum in my lifetime. You see the discomfort he has in reading. You know,
it's, he flubbed a number of words. He was incoherent at times. He had the sniffing thing going every now and then. And clearly, based on the reaction of the stock market today, you know, he did not put anybody's fears to rest. His basic message was, we're great. America's great. We don't need to worry about this. I'm a great president. We've got a great economy, blah, blah, blah. Never really addressing the issue at hand, because people are now getting more and more nervous each and every day. The more things get canceled, the more restrictions that get placed on their lives. And like you said, Obama had an ability, I think, to maybe talk people off of the ledge, Trump just pushes people right over it.
Think of the world that Obama took over when he became president. The fact that economy. Bush, think about it. Bush, during 2008, actually threw his hands up in the air and said, I cannot fight the financial crisis going on. I'm going to leave it for the next president to take over. Yeah. And it was astonishing to watch a president-elect announcing policies before he had been elected.
Yeah. And I think the leadership we needed at that point.
And which speaks volumes about George Bush.
George. Yes. Oh, it does.
W. but also is the fact that, and I think Trump really, I mean, just the, and I think this was the giveaway that he's, that, that he's not a leader, is the fact that while he's giving his speech yesterday, he felt the need to throw in that Europe is to blame for what's going on in Europe, and it's their fault that we in America are now seeing coronavirus cases, and we are instituting a ban on all travel from Europe. I mean, yeah. It literally was, he could not even just accept this is something going on around the world. We need to just band together as a global community and fight it. But he felt the need to sit there and point fingers at somebody else while patting himself on the back for saying, if it was just me, we'd be great. And it was just,
he tried to blame other countries. He couldn't stick it on China. So now he's trying to stick it on Italy and Europe. I mean, we're still letting people in from the UK, though. For some unknown reason, you know, if there's an issue in Europe, UK is involved as well. So it is very arbitrary. It is very much based on whomever he is having a pissing contest with at that given point in time.
It could not have been more obvious, you know, looking at the stock market today, but even yesterday, it could not have been more obvious that the message that this world needed was not finger pointing yesterday, but we are, you know, the message should be, we are doing everything we can to take care of our people, and we are going to do everything we can to keep and prevent people from becoming ill. And we are going to do everything we can to find a cure for this thing.
Right.
That was the message he needed to send yesterday. And when he takes this diversion of let's start pointing fingers at Europe, it rings so false. It feels once again like this is not somebody that is trying to make it better, but is just trying to protect his ass.
Well, and listen, Brian, I think you would have to agree that when you are unable to rely on the president of the United States, there is only one place to turn to, and that's to our country's mega pastors. And thankfully, last night, Kenneth Copeland prayed for everybody about the coronavirus. We've got that audio right here. And the other voices you will hear are the other people on his show, just kind of, I guess, talking along with him for whatever reason.
Put your hand on that television set.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. He received your healing.
Yes.
Now, say it, I take it.
I take it.
I have it.
I have it.
It's mine.
It's mine.
I thank you and praise you for it.
Yes, Lord.
And I forgive if I have aught against any.
I forgive.
And I praise you that I'm well and whole.
I praise you that I'm well and whole. Yes.
According to the word of God.
According to the word of God.
I'm healed.
Yes.
And I consider not my own body.
Yes.
Consider not my own body.
I consider not symptoms in my body.
I consider not symptoms in my body.
But only that which God has promised.
Only that which God has promised.
Only that what the Word has said.
Only that what the Word
has said. And by His stripes I was healed. And by His stripes I am healed now. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed, and the devil's trying to give me the flu.
That's right.
Or whatever else kind of thing he's trying.
Yeah.
Healed and well.
Yes.
In the sweet name
of Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. My Lord.
We are so fucked.
You know what? We are only fucked that there's somebody listening to that thinking that that man is going to keep them safe.
I hate to break it to you, but I guarantee you there were millions of people watching him that felt better.
So fucking
for
scary.
Him praying for them like that.
Who are the two people that he's talking to? Because it sounded like two other voices.
There were two other guys who are on whatever his show is, the Miracle Hour or the Prayer Circle.
Yada yada.
Or whatever.
He gives a shit. It's a circle. Yeah. It's a circle. Jesus shirk. What I like about it is that when he starts praying and he has them repeat what he's saying, they start off word for word what he's saying, and yeah. then they just start repeating the last word that he said. Then they lose even track of that, so they just say one of the words he says, and then they just like come back and start repeating. I mean, it's a fucking it irks me so, Ron. It irks well, then you me
should
so.
You should be especially irked with televangelist Jim Baker.
Why so?
He was selling some sort of, I guess, silver drink or some sort of solution, silver solution, it was called. And he was stating on his show there, I think it was on a February 12th show, one of his guests said, oh, will this work on the coronavirus? And he was like, you know, it hasn't been tested, but it's been tested on the other strains of coronavirus and has been able to eliminate it within 12 hours. So initially, I want to say it was either the Michigan or Minnesota Attorney General took issue with that. Now, this week, the New York Attorney General has given him a 10 days to comply with a cease and desist letter. Yeah, I mean, but people are buying this shit. It's not, bottles of it are now selling for more than $125.
Ah, that's ridiculous.
That's just crazy. I mean, obviously, we know Jim Baker's a whore.
I know that.
He'll do anything for money, but people still fall for his shit.
Do you think that he's saying by the time they figure out what went wrong, we'll be sitting on a beach earning 20%?
It's very possible. It's very, very possible.
You know, there's nothing worse. There really is nothing worse than people trying to maximize the public fear for their own personal profit.
Yeah. And thankfully, Brian, you were telling me that you are aware of a brand new product that can help people.
I do.
Tell us about it.
Hi, this is Brian from the Ron and Brian podcast, here with an amazing new product. You won't believe it's available, and you've got to see it to believe it. Over the past few months, there's been a lot of talk going on around the coronavirus, or COVID-19. What's COVID-19? I have no idea, but I believe it's one of those new genders that the kids are talking about. I think it's the one where plants can reproduce by being exposed to the sun. Frankly, I'm not sure. But the coronavirus is something different. It's this crazy disease that's going around. Started in a government lab, tested on bats, emus, and people in China. Well, this thing's spreading around the globe. It's the hottest dance track this summer. People are getting sick. Some people are dying. Ain't that whack? Well, while the rest of the world have been waiting for their governments to come save their hides, we at the Ron and Brian podcast have been in the lab doing some Walter White, Jesse Pinkman shit. That's right, science, bitches. Well, we are happy to announce that our cure for the coronavirus is finally ready. That's right. We have the cure.
Here's how it... Brian, yeah. Real quick, if I can interrupt.
What do you mean?
I don't believe you can say it's a cure. You have to say that it's a supplement. So leave out the C word, if you will. Okay? We'll edit this part out, all right? So just pick it right back up.
But this is the cure. I don't... No, hold on, Ron. Time out. Ron, this is the thing that's going to save humanity. This is...
What's that?
This is going to save humanity from the coronavirus. But, the only way we're going to sell this thing is if we tell people it's a cure.
No, you don't want to say it's a cure, because that's going to get us sued. That's going to get us sent a cease and desist letter. Plus, people, they take supplements all the time, and all of it is horseshit. It's snake oil. People will believe anything that someone talking to them through some sort of entertainment device, they'll believe anything they tell them. So just, no, don't use the word cure. Just use the word supplement. You want to get paid, don't you?
Of course. I mean, that's the whole reason why we're doing this.
Exactly. So just pick right back up. Just don't use the word cure.
So, well.
Do you have another question, or are you just going to go ahead and do this? Now, don't be a knucklehead. Fuck this up for us.
Sorry.
I will come there and I will cut you, bitch. Are we good?
Yes.
All right. Please continue.
Well, we are happy to announce that we have the food supplement for the coronavirus. It's finally ready. That's right, we have the food supplement. Here's how it works. You feel warm? Got a fever? Have you been coughing? Any shortness of breath? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may have the coronavirus. And if you answered no to any of these questions, you still may have the coronavirus. Either way, we have the cure. I mean, food
supplement. Say the goddamn word supplement.
Sorry, Ron.
I'm going to start this music again, and you're going to say either way. Why don't you say, tell you what, do this. Either way, we have the answer. All right?
Either way, we have the answer.
All right, I'm going to play the goddamn music again. Get it right. Sorry.
Either way, we have the answer. Here's how it works. You're sick, we heal you. Use it once, and it more than pays for itself. Ron and Brian's podcast's cure for the corona works.
Did you just fucking say cure again?
It's in the name of the product. What do you want me to do?
You put it on the bottle?
Yes. We just manufactured 10,000 bottles of this stuff.
God damn it.
Dude, I borrowed money from my sister.
Why? Why would you do that? All right, we're going to have to... All right, we'll print up some stickers. We'll put it over there. So just say Ron and Brian's Corona Supplement. All right?
God, fuck.
Don't make me fucking stop this music again.
Use it once, and it more than pays for itself. Ron and Brian Podcast's Answer for the Corona works by saturating your blood system with coagulated neurons. It's something like that. Honestly, Ron did most of the work like he usually does. I'm just along for the ride. And I want you to be safe from the coronavirus, because dying is not fun. And we have the... We have the answer...
Did you say the fucking word cure again? That's right. Answer to the...
Sorry, man.
Just get it right.
Sorry.
Get it goddamn right.
Because dying is not fun. And we have the answer for this disease. I want you to put it to the test. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll refund your money. 100% guaranteed.
We're not actually going to give anybody their money back, right?
Well, no. I mean, all the money's going to go to our Cayman Islands bank account, and right, which is completely untraceable.
Just making sure. And I see the name of the product, the old name of the product, is in the next paragraph. So I'm just going to give you a heads up. Don't fucking say cure again. Finish strong, all right?
What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say?
I want you to say, we'll call it the Ron and Brian Podcast Coronavirus Corona Supplement. Just get it right. Grab your sack, man up, finish this commercial strong. All right? Here we go.
Call now, and you'll get the Ron and Brian Podcast Corona Food Supplement Kit, complete with everything you need. You get the power packets. You get the anti-dandruff shampoo. We will even throw in a Ryan and Brian podcast medical mask. Your coronavirus will go away or your money back. We guarantee it. But you've got to call now. Here's how to order.
All right, Brian, thank you very much for that great information. Obviously, if you want to order, just go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, go to the web store, and you will see all of the awesome merchandise we have available, along with this new coronavirus supplement. Well, Brian, I feel happy that we can bring some sort of support, some sort of healing to our community out there. I think we should be proud.
I'm going to expect a large bounce on Wall Street next trading session, which is tomorrow. I think that once word spreads out that the Ron and Brian Podcast Food Supplement is going to ensure that people are safe from the coronavirus, I think people's aspect on what's going to happen will change dramatically.
Agreed. Before we wrap up our corona coverage, one thing that we saw this past week, people apparently were tweeting towards Weird Al Yankovic. Early on in his career, he had done a cover of the Knack's My Sharona, doing it as My Bologna. Apparently, people were asking him to do a version updated called My Corona. And he said that he was not willing to do it. He felt it would be disrespectful for the people who had lost lives, people who were sick and all that. And I was a little disappointed being a big Weird Al fan. Because I feel, you know, sometimes in situations like this, you know, comedy plus tragedy plus time equals comedy. I don't know if I got that right, but I think I did.
No. Tragedy, so, tragedy plus time equals comedy.
All right. If well, I feel we've had enough time.
It's funny. If it breaks, it's not funny.
There you go. So since Weird Al wasn't able to do it, I said, you know, if only there was a podcast crew out there with a complete disregard for humanity and human life that also had the ability to write parody songs. And well, without any further ado...
And Brian, world premiere.
Ooh, my infected one, infected one. When you're gonna pass on that disease, Corona? Oh, you make my nostrils run, my nostrils run. Got me cleaning all of the time, Corona. Gotta wash your hands, wear a mask. Gotta sanitize, go in quarantine. And don't touch your face or your eyes. Your eyes. Whoa! My Corona. Don't get any closer, hun. Please don't hunt. Gotta practice social distancing, Corona. Patience, there's a mystery. It isn't me. Keep me away from COVID-19, Corona. Gotta work from home, but really, I'll be watching soaps. Just can't wait to get caught up on Days of Our Lives. Lies. Whoa! My Corona. My Corona.
Anybody right now and yesterday, anybody that needs a test gets a test. They're there. They have the test. And the tests are beautiful. As of right now and yesterday, anybody that needs a test, that's the important thing. And the tests are all perfect. Like, the letter was perfect. The transcription was perfect, right? This was not as perfect as that, but pretty good.
When's this gonna go away? I'm so afraid. Now I can't even go to Coachella. Do I have the common cold? A common cold? Or are you in my bloodstream, Corona? Gotta buy Purell. Get stocked up. Call the CDC. Hope for a vaccine. Stay inside and try not to die. Whoa! My Corona. My Corona. My Corona. All right, maybe we'll put that up on iTunes. I think Corona. People would definitely pay 99¢ for that. Brian, what do you think of the new song?
I'll be honest, I think it was just fucking genius. Absolutely genius.
I feel it might be the best so far.
I actually did not think that you would be able to top the song parody that you brought to the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. I thought that was timely. I thought that it hit all the important points. But holy cow, you really outdid yourself on this one, my friend.
And you know what I did a little bit differently this time is I actually did more than one take. Because normally really? I'm just like, I'll do one take and I'm like, I feel like I've exerted enough effort. But I did it a few times just to try and make sure I got all the vocals correct. So kudos. Hopefully the fans will like it.
Well, you know what? I would say that when you walked into the studio to drop that, you looked at the producer and you said, you can walk out of here or be carried out. I mean, that's a really baller kind of thing you can say to someone.
It is, no question. So, well, thank you. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully everybody likes it. Let us know on the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Let us know how you like it. We are just about ready to wrap up here, but we would be very remiss if we did not hit one celebrity obituary before we go. Max von Schneidau passed away at the age of 90 this past week. So kudos to listener Jocelyn. She was the only person in the Ron and Brian death pool that picked him. She picks up 10 points, moves her into second place in the death pool. Quite the body of work Max had.
I did not even realize it. And this just shows you, you know, how to me it said a lot about myself in terms of you know, popular culture, how, you know, there are periods in my life where I get into it and out of it. But holy cow.
I mean, you know, nominated for a number of Academy Awards, just some great movies that he was in. And also he was in Flash Gordon, which is how I really know him, as Ming the Merciless.
Did you see that movie in the theater?
I did not, no. I saw it at home. You saw it in the theater. How was it in the theater? I would imagine back in the day, it probably was fairly impressive.
What year did that come out? If you can look that up, because I'm going to say that when I saw that movie as a kid growing up in Queens, New York, where the New York Jets played their football games, I genuinely believed that the main character, Flash Gordon or Flex Gordon, whatever it was, I genuinely thought that he was a New York Jets quarterback.
You thought that that was like it was a documentary, perhaps.
I genuinely believed that there was some truth to the characters that were being presented. And obviously, I was young enough that I did not realize the difference.
Well, I mean, it was 1980, so you were probably like 8 or 9 years old at that point. But yeah. I mean, The Exorcist, 3 Days of the Condor, Dune, Hannah and Her Sisters, Awakenings, Minority Report, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, Shutter Island. I mean, come on. He was in Game of Thrones as the Three-Eyed Raven.
Whoa! He was in the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he was the Three-Eyed Raven before the Three-Eyed Raven died and Bran became the Three-Eyed Raven.
Really, I didn't know that.
Yeah, little trivia there for you.
That's actually very interesting. I mean, the man had an incredible career. The thing that I like about him to a point is I like his career up until 2002. Where I feel like he started to make some terrible life decisions.
Really? And why is that?
He became a French citizen.
Oh, that's just like surrendering right off the bat.
Right off the bat. Just like, I'm a victim. I will say this, great in Martin Scorsese's Shutter Island.
Yes.
That is a movie. Shutter Island is a movie that is vastly underrated. And I almost feel like should have a cult following at this point.
Well, you know, I have to rewatch it. It's been a while.
Mark Ruffalo, Leo DiCaprio.
No, I mean, it's quite the lineup, no question.
Coronavirus was in there. I mean, it really is. It's some good stuff there.
Yeah, very good. Well, we are going to head on out of here. So goodbye to Max. Congrats to Jocelyn for picking up those 10 points. But there's a lot of time left in the death pool. We've got 8.5 months to go. And with this coronavirus, everyone is in play. So no one's lead is safe. I feel this will continue to be an exciting year for the death pool. Brian, you have anything else for us this week?
This has been one of the more unsettling weeks of my life. And, you know, as much as I would like to say that the next week is more of a return to normal, I genuinely do not believe that it is. I think this is a time where people need to, you know, go out of their way to treat each other better, to treat each other, you know, as if we are part of a whole and not as, you know, a whole unto ourselves. And hopefully we can do the right thing and things start to improve. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And And I would like to see this as an opportunity for humanity to rise above and not sink below. And I would like people to prove me wrong.
Let's hope that's the case. Also, normally we are going to record our Patreon episode, which is behind the paywall. But because, you know, there is such a dearth of entertainment due to the coronavirus scare, we are going to record this Patreon. We are going to make it available for free to everybody. So we will be sharing the link for that on our social media pages shortly. Also, go to ronandbrian.com for all things Ron and Brian. Stay safe out there, wash your goddamn hands, social distance, and stay alive.
And wash your booty holes.